to episode number 8 of the Witchology podcast. I'd like to start by wishing you a very happy new year. I hope you had firstly got a wonderful break over the holidays, and if you didn't, if you're all go, I hope that you still had a wonderful time anyway. We at Witchology took our first proper break in a long time. I for one had, which is why there was no episode last week, but I for one I think that was the first full break I've had from everything for years. I can't remember the last time, so that was very nice. Not to rub it in if you didn't have the same, but you know, let's claim that energy, let's bring that into 2023. We're gonna have more rest this year. I also apologize if you can hear any little feet pattering about and just other general shuffly noises. Beans, the dog, has just been fed and he has, I don't know, he's just found another wind of energy that he's, and he's just sort of pacing around the room. We've just been out, haven't we, Ian? So I don't really know what's going on there. But anyway, we are back this week with another wonderful interview with our very good friend Erin Harker of The Magic Makers. And as well as a book review, because, you know, you've got some holiday money saved up, I'm sure, and like, what books do you want to buy? And I will hopefully help you with that, maybe. Or, yeah, find you something that you do want to buy or find you something you don't want to buy. We shall see. Anyway, our book review this week is The Treasury of Folklore, Woodlands and Forests. This is by D.D. Cheney and Willow Winsham. It was published in 2021 by Batsford. So let's have a synopsis. From the dark, gnarled woods of the north to the humid jungles of the tropics, trees have captured humanity's imagination for millennia. Filled with ancient gods and goddesses, tree spirits and the fairy tales of old, the forests offer sanctuary, mystery, and more than a little mischievous trickery. From insatiable, cannibalistic children hewn from logs to the spine-chilling tale of Baba Yaga, there is much to be found between the branches. Come into the trees, witches, goddesses, and big bad wolves await you. So this is one of three books in the series. I think the first one was A Treasury of British Folklore. I haven't read that one yet. And the other one is A Treasury of Folklore, Seas and Rivers, and I also haven't read that one yet. I actually received this one, Woodlands and Forest, as a gift for my birthday last year. And I can see why my friends picked that one out of the three, because I'm definitely more drawn to Woodlands and Forest than I am the sea, just in general. Definitely more of an earth dweller than I am a water dweller. But I did buy the other two books after that because it is just, I loved it. I think what I would start with this book is that it's not necessarily one that you would read from start to finish. You know, it's not something you'd necessarily think, this is the next on my to-be-read list, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to, even though I did it that way, I did read it all in one because it was just really easy to read. It's sort of, because it's split into three different sections. You've got a section all about the woods and all the tales that relate to the trees specifically, and then you've got the section that's more about the kind of creatures and cryptids you might find in the woods. And then the third section is more about the people, you know, and more the like kind of folk that you find in the forest or around the forest and that kind of thing, more people-based stories. And each one is quite short, so, you know, it can be one of those books that if you're, I don't know, if you're looking for a nice morning ritual type thing or like a bedtime ritual where you just kind of, you don't want to commit yourself to reading a full narrative, you know, but it might not be something that you can do right before you go to bed, for example, because, you know, it just gets lost once you've slept and you've had a dream, it's gone and, you know, you've completely lost the thread or something. You can use you know, a book like this is one that you can, you know, just pick a story, and you don't have to read it in chronological order either. You can be like, okay, I fancy a story about marvelous mushrooms of the forest floor, one about, you know, tree nymphs and spirits. So just like a little short story that you can you know, cozy up with a cup of tea or a coffee or whatever your preference is, and kind of sit and just kind of have that little moment. Do you know what I mean? Am I making any sense? I feel like it's a really good book for that. And because it's so beautifully illustrated, I would describe it as, it's kind of like the lino print wood carving print type style that is just absolutely gorgeous. It's one of those things that you can kind of sit and cozy up and really have that, I don't know, that little pocket of joy in your day. Do you know what I mean? Am I going off on one? But yeah, I think that's how I would describe it. That's the kind of experience you get from reading the book, which I am definitely here for. All the stories are curated and, you know, presented in a really clear way, really enjoyable to read. I don't think I can find anything that I dislike about it, you know. Beautifully illustrated, you know, lovely stories and, you know, structured in a nice way. Yeah, it's just, that's it. I know it's a really short review. It's just, all it is thumbs up from me. I would say I'd give it, I'd give it 4 stars, actually. I think I'd give it 4 stars. Definitely a lovely collection to have, you know, on your shelf, like, especially if you've got bookshelves that are kind of always seen, because they're just really lovely looking books. Would recommend. While I have you here, I wanted to tell you all about Lunology. Lunology is a monthly zine, brand new from us at Witchology Magazine. It's centered all around each monthly moon cycle and features astrology, spells, rituals, journal prompts, tarot spreads, everything that you need to work your way through the lunar cycle. It's available as a digital download via our website, witchologymagazine.com/shop-lunology. Or if you're a Coven subscriber, it is included in your subscription. Capricorn season is out now. So my guest this week is the wonderful Erin Harker. Erin is the founder and head witch at The Magic Makers, a general store and virtual community space for witches. She is a regular contributor to Witchology Magazine, sharing her knowledge and practice with potions, candles, tarot and herbs. And she's here to share even more of that knowledge with us today about symbology and the use of symbology in witchcraft. So welcome, Erin. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, Christy. I'm so excited to be here. And obviously, I love doing everything with the whole Witchology team. You guys are amazing. So very honored to be here today.
Oh, well, we love you and we love to champion your work. So happy to do it here as well. Okay, so symbology is something that I think all of us have dabbled in or will have known and practiced it already without maybe really realizing. So I thought we'd start with getting what would you say your definition of symbology is? How would you say it incorporates or you incorporate it into your practice? How does it merge in your life, you know?
Yeah, so I think with symbology, which I feel like this is the case with a lot of esoteric and witchcraft practices, is they're kind of pervasive. Like, you can find them anywhere. So symbology is kind of looking at the way the world talks to us through signs and symbols, and kind of analyzing the meanings behind them, and also how you connect with those signs and symbols on like a personal level to kind of intuit different meanings and messages. And my favorite when it comes to symbology is animals and natural kind of elements. But you can also look at everything from, you know, numbers, obviously, like repeating numbers and stuff. You know, I am one of those basic bitches who loves an angel number, which I never thought I'd be that person, but man, God, I love it.
I think that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. But like, yeah. Even like shapes and stuff carry different meanings. And then like, there's also this really beautiful part of it where you can look at all these signs and symbols from different cultural practices and folklore and all of those kind of things. And it's always really interesting to me too, to find out the different like connections that kind of tie cultures together that wouldn't have otherwise been connected without these symbols, you know? So like, how did these two seemingly disparate or geographically distant cultures end up having very similar meanings assigned to the same things?
Yeah, absolutely. That's so interesting. I had Gabriella Hurstick on an episode before, and we were talking about sort of getting to know different deities and the importance of kind of understanding, like, for example, the dark goddess and who is the dark goddess and the many faces of that dark goddess, and how important it is to kind of learn about the deities in different cultures and religions, where to see that kind of thread that ties them together, because it kind of makes you more empathetic or conscious of these different people and different, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where, for me at least, it's super interesting, because the whole idea of like collective consciousness like really comes through in a lot of that stuff when we see those connecting threads or themes that, you know, tie different cultures together that don't otherwise have any real ties to each other. And it becomes super interesting too, because then like symbolism and symbology are so deeply personal as well. So there's just like all these layers to it too, where yes, there will be like cultural meanings to things and stuff that's recognized pretty widely as far as symbols are concerned. But then each of us has our own personal relationship with those different signs and symbols that elicit different things in us.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you use, I mean, I'm a big fan of your symboscopes that you share. They're always so beautiful. I mean, you're just brilliant at all the kind of graphic design and everything. They're always visually stunning, but also so interesting as well. So how do you go about creating those? What are they your interpretations? Or I guess let's tell everyone what they are, first of all, I suppose.
Yeah.
What is a symboscope?
Yeah. So symboscopes were something I started last year, I believe, and then I've kind of taken a hiatus from them, but I actually am planning on bringing them back next year because I do miss doing them. And I want to say the idea for those kind of came from a conversation I actually had with Anthony Parada, who's also a contributor for you all at Witchology. And, you know, I was talking about how like everybody does taroscopes and I wanted to do something different because I have a lot of Aquarius in my chart. So it's very important for me to be different. And like, I just, you know, couldn't really come up with anything. And then I think I was in the shower one day, which is where I do a lot of my best thinking. Also, fun fact that water is something that carries spirit. So it's a place, because there's so much water, bathrooms actually are really great places to channel.
I love that. And that explains so much, because I always solve problems in the shower or in the bath. I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. It always clicks.
And I was just thinking about how much I love working with like animal symbolism and everything. And I was like, what if I do symboscopes and channel, you know, different symbols for each of the signs and do that as like the message for the month? So that's what I do. Like I meditate on each of the zodiac signs and channel a symbol that comes through. And then I take that. And usually like some messages will come through during the meditation too. And then I also do I love research. Like I love diving down a wormhole. So
Capricorn I'll also, much?
Yeah.
Not to call you out or anything.
Yeah. No, it's real. It's real. I do. I will research something to death. So I then look at the symbols from like different like cultural aspects and, you know, what myths and stories are out there. And then also, I think one of the big things, and this is where like another aspect of just like witchcraft and different practices I love, is that a lot of it really is kind of common sense. So specifically with animals, if those symbols come through, I actually just research like the animal behaviors and what their, you know, habits are and how they engage with their environment and where do they live. And there's little messages in all of that that helps kind of tell the story for the messages and themes of the month for people too.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so they're there to be kind of used as like you said, in the same way, sort of tarot scopes and horoscopes as well.
Yeah.
You know? To kind of take into you take what resonates and leave what doesn't, and take that forward into your month and your approach to things. Again, applying that kind of baggage, or I don't want to say baggage because it makes it sound bad, but you know, any interpretation that you have of those symbols yourself and all of those other incorporates all of your like cultural and your upbringing and everything into that.
And even like, you know, just dogs as an example, because pretty much all of us are familiar with dogs, but like there are people out there who do not have great relationships with dogs because they were bitten by one when they were a kid, or for whatever reason, you know, maybe they weren't around, you know, dogs or had pets very much. So they have a fear of dogs. So that their relationship with a dog as a symbol is going to be very different from mine when, you know, I have my familiar, my buddy, who like I spend every day with and is like my bestie. So, you know, like, I think that's where one of my other favorite examples of this, and again, this is kind of going on the dog theme, so clearly I like dogs, but wolves, for example, have very different cultural associations across the world. But yeah, wolves, just so I used to, as a child, always have this dream of wolves, and I would always feel like they were chasing me. And this was around the time that my parents were going through a divorce as well. So like things were just shaking up a little bit. And so in these dreams, like I would always feel like the wolves were chasing me. And then I did some research about wolves for like another reason, more recently, like within the last 5 years or so. And I found out that like in Irish folklore and myth, that wolves actually were like, they would save children and lost travelers and stuff. And that's part the werewolves and stuff. So it was very different. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense that they were coming to help me through this like chaotic time in my life where there was a lot of upheaval to kind of like protect me and help me through the transition.
Yeah, absolutely. What a journey as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting. And I do wonder, because, you know, we'll all, like you say, we all have these different relationships with different symbols and animals. Again, I'm digressing again, I'm being terrible today, but my colleague, my work friend, she's so funny. She once told me that she didn't like dogs, and I was like, oh, dare you. And then when I found out why, I couldn't stop laughing. It blew my mind. The reason she doesn't like dogs is because she can't cope with the fact that there'll be something in her house, a being that communicates with her that doesn't speak.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, well, I wonder what her interpretation of a dog symbol would be. I don't know, like subliminal communication.
Oh yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting, isn't it?
Clearly she's a big fan of very direct communication.
Yeah, and that does track, actually, to be fair. Oh, I just found that, you know, so funny. So in terms of using, I mean, there are lots of different ways that we use symbols and symbology in our practices. I mean, tarot itself is,
yes,
you know, a symbol-based practice.
Right, an entire system of symbols and story.
Yeah, exactly. And runes, sigils, yeah, are all symbols and for things. But how else would, how else do we, or could we seek to embrace symbology within our practice, do you think?
So I feel like I'm going to end up focusing on all the animal things, but I'm going to try really hard to remember to leave other stuff in there as well.
That's okay. Animals are good. We love animals.
Yeah. But so like, even with like numbers, right? Numerology, more symbols. When you're doing like any kind of ritual work, you know, like tarot as an example, I love when I'm doing like something, some type of more formal ritual at my altar, I will often put like a tarot card that helps to support the energy that I'm trying to do as part of the ritual or altar, put it under my spell candle. And then you can carry it with you as like a talisman as well. So like, that's just an example with tarot. With numbers, sometimes when I make potions, like even some of the stuff I carry in the shop, on the labels or like even the cards that go with it, there will be specific numbers because the energy of that number is tied to the energy of the intentions behind the potion. So like, you can do that. Even when you think about how a lot of times we do things in threes, when it comes to witchcraft, you know, like you can, in kitchen witchery, sometimes like there's specific instructions for different things that you stir it a certain number of times, knocking on your tarot deck a specific number of times to clear it before you do another reading. So there's like all these different ways. And then when it comes to like herbs and plants, arguably that's also symbology when you're putting that into different like potions or teas or any of that kind of stuff, because they all carry meanings as well. So I feel like it's hard not to put it into your witchcraft practice, because mm-hmm. if you're doing something with intention, you're weaving so much of this and everything can have a meaning behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's anyone that might be listening in or saw the title of the episode and was like, oh, I'm not really sure. I mean, you can kind of assume just from knowing sure. the word symbol, but or saying, you know, I'm not really sure how this works, or do I, you know, you can reflect now and realize, oh, actually, no, I'm reading symbols in everything, you know, there's every single part of my day. And then we're going to have to apologize to everyone though, because after listening to this, you're going to look at everything. I'm doing it right now, where I'm looking at things and being like, oh, what does that mean? What does that mean?
I mean, colors are another one, which, like, even when you're reading tarot, you know, you can look at the colors on the card and that gives like another layer of meaning to your readings too. And I think that's the same case, you know, and you see that with the way people will do seasonal altars and stuff, that they will have specific colors that go with them. So that's like another symbol that we use. And even, of course, like I'm thinking of Christianity, which I know, like, you know, not everyone's really about that in the witchcraft community, but you know, the way people wear like crosses, or the way we wear, you know, that a lot of witches will wear a pentagram for protection. Charms and talismans themselves are symbols of the intention that you're putting into them. Crystals, you know, like, so it's literally everywhere. And then I think, I don't even remember what the question was, but.
I think we were just talking about, how can the question was kind of what how can we incorporate into our practice? And the outcome was, well, actually, it's not possible to not, and it's a double negative, but it's impossible not to include it in your practice. So then I guess it's more, how do you mindfully enact it? You know, how do you kind of then embrace all of the different, or take a moment every time? I mean, I know, because you kind of, it's really easy to kind of get into a motion of like always putting basil in your money spells, or because you kind of know that that's just what happens, but you're not actually thinking about, well, what is the symbology of basil? What does that represent? What other things kind of factor into it? And then, because I guess when you start to be more mindful of it, it unlocks a lot of other different tools and you know, things that you can use.
My personal witchcraft practice, I take a very fuck around and find out approach to my practice. Which I think honestly, like most of us do in witchcraft, because it is a form of like trial and error layered with some intuition and observation. So like I think why I love symbology and kind of doing what you were talking about with like kind of taking a deep dive is seeing what works. So like, sure, you use basil every time, but what happens if you use some fenugreek in your spell, which also, you know, can help with manifesting money, and see like what different herbs, because I also believe kind of like on that same level of having like a personal relationship with different symbols. It's the same way we have personal relationships with animals, herbs, all of the tools that we work with, all of the systems we work within, like we're going to have our own personal relationship with them. And so you might work better with different symbols and things than you do with others, and you won't know that unless you try it out and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And stop or avoid getting into a what would you call it? Like a, I don't know, a systematic approach to your practice where you're like, I do this because this says so, or I do this because it says so. And more of a, like you say, building that personal relationship. So, well, I know what works and what is effective, or I know what the relationship that I have with this certain herb, because you know, and I can apply that and intentionally put that into whatever it is that I'm doing, or you know.
And when you start like listening and paying attention to the world around you, a lot of times the universe kind of will bring certain things to you as well. So, especially when it comes to working with animals, that's my personal favorite way because, you know, there's animals no matter where you live, there are animals around you all the time. And if you keep your eyes open, you'll see some. And usually I believe they carry messages for us. So, for example, we have some bats that live in our garage. Very, very cute.
Oh, I love
And like I say hi to them every day when I go out there. I'm like, hello, friends.
Oh, so sweet.
You know,
Puppies
they
of darkness.
comment what?
Little puppies of darkness.
They really are. They're just so tiny and cute. And they squeak at me and it's great. But like they come at certain times of year. So they're also tied to the seasons. And obviously they're big messengers for like transformation and stuff. And they often you have one that kind of lives there all year, but a couple more usually show up right around Samhain, which they're also tied to that Sabbat. So it's also just funny how these things happen because they happen naturally. And that's how they got a lot of these meanings. So when you start just kind of paying attention to the natural world around you, it becomes a little easier to notice.
Yeah. And you become more aware, don't you, as well? And you can kind of then use that in everything, in every kind of like reflective practice, or just keeping in touch with yourself, I suppose. Even in your self-care, you can say, okay, well, I know that I always feel down at this time, or I know that I always feel ready for something specific at this time. And you know, you'll start to see that once you start paying attention to all these different things.
Yeah. And even like, you know, if you have an animal that you like their energy, but you don't live somewhere where they are, you know, you can put up artwork to invite that energy in. I know some people also, this is a little bit outside my realm of comfort as a Capricorn earth sign, but you know, you can even try like moving like the animals that you associate with to channel their energy and kind of embrace that and bring that in. So there's a lot of different ways that you can, you know, eat foods like they would eat, if that makes sense. Again, like you can take these things as far as you want. I take a much more simple and modern approach to things because that's what my comfort level is, but you can definitely get real weird with it if you want to.
Yeah. Before we start talking about furries, start moving on. Not there's anything wrong with that if that's what you're into.
Yeah. Whatever you're into, man.
But yeah, I did have something I was going to say and now I'm completely distracted.
Furries will do that to you.
If anyone was listening and they thought, okay, well, I've realized how much, if they didn't already, when, you know, but they might be thinking, Erin, Christy, why are you teaching us how to suck eggs?
Yeah, sure.
But if not, or if they're thinking, well, actually, I haven't checked in with myself about the symbols around me and my relationship with them. You know, producing their own symboscopes might be something that could really help with that. Or, you know, I mean, I always recommend journaling, so I don't, you know, I mean, it's a similar sort of thing, but how would we start? How would we go about that? Like,
so I think you can use like a few different divination techniques. So if you wanted to find things in nature, you could literally just go out for a nature walk and see kind of what your attention is drawn to, and then research what the symbolism is of that. So like if there's a specific tree that you love that you walk by every day, what kind of tree is it and what symbolism does that have? I'm also a huge fan of automatic writing because I think that can be really accessible for people. I try to keep it. So when I channel and stuff, I'm a very like visual thinker. So I see things and I hear things, but not everyone thinks that way, right? Like some people will not. And sometimes, you know, you might just get flashes of color, or you won't see anything at all, but you hear things, or you'll have thoughts in your head that you can tell like aren't really yours, you know? So I think it's figuring out also which way you connect with your intuition that you're comfortable with. I also think that like signs have a way of showing up and showing up consistently until you recognize them. I talked to a woman who met me at a market and she was seeing rhinoceroses everywhere. Like they would just, they kept popping up all over the place and like logos and advertisements. So, you know, I think recognizing symbols too can be literally scrolling on Instagram and you see certain things pop up there, or in your day-to-day life, like what are the consistent signs that are coming through for you and kind of paying attention to that and then looking for the meaning within that. I'm also a big fan of meditation, which meditation doesn't have to be just sitting there in silence. You know, you can do guided meditations. You can also do, if you're someone, sometimes it's a lot more or a lot easier for me to get in a meditative state when I'm doing something that's a little mindless. So like washing dishes, for example, it's a repetitive behavior I don't have to think about. So sometimes things will come through then. But again, I think it's very similar to like a lot of other practices out there where it's just figuring out how you can best tune into your own intuition, as well as messages from your guides or whatever your personal practice and beliefs entail. And then and then taking the time to like do some research about it and see what's out there. And kind of to your point too, with like the self-awareness aspect, actually like listening to and noticing how your body feels when you see those signs and symbols and like what your reaction is to it as well. Are all some really helpful ways to kind of dive into it.
Yeah. And I guess getting to know and understanding that it's okay if your interpretation, I don't know, we touched on it earlier, but it's okay that your interpretation of a specific symbol is different, you know, because that's still something you're kind of bringing into it. And it's not a kind of hard and fast rule, essentially.
Yeah. And I think that also is like very much like kind of the self-awareness aspect that you talked about a little bit too, where it's paying attention to like what your feeling is around the thing. You know, not that anybody has real strong feelings about shapes per se, but like,
yeah, well, you never know. You never know.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But you may notice things kind of like come up, or, you know, and if there is something that you really don't like, that could be something to explore too. Cause a lot of times when we have those adverse reactions, there's a lesson in it for us.
Yeah, definitely. And awesome shadow work to do there. Definitely. So what is your, do you have a sort of symbology story that, or something that really stands out to you, like within your practice, where there was an event or an occasion where one symbol smacked around the face, essentially? And yeah, if you'd like to share, obviously you don't feel like you have to.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think of a good one, because I shared my wolf one already.
Oh yeah, that was a really good one as well.
So when I think this was like shortly after I had moved to Philadelphia. So this is like 10 years ago, over 10 years ago, 15 more. I don't know what time is anymore.
an illusion.
Yeah.
Shared
it's all made up. But I, again, so like dreams obviously are like a big way that I connect with the spirit world. And I had this dream and I was like, woke up in my room at that time. And I had like a bathroom off my room. And when I woke up, there was a very large fox standing next to my bed. And it was like, come with me, you know, and it guided me into the bathroom. And there was a huge black spider in the corner of my bathroom. And then there was like this really big, like sunshine mosaic all over my shower wall, which did not exist in this apartment. And the spider had like, very Charlotte's Web style, woven a web with a message in it. And it said, we'll protect you. And it was a time in my life where like, I was very much in like a transition and like upheaval, you know, I had just moved to a new city and I was having some issues with a roommate, I think, at the time. So it was just one of those situations where it was like, you don't have anything to worry about, we'll protect you. And one of my guides comes through as a black spider a lot of times. She's like an older spirit, but so it was interesting to see like how your guides can sometimes even use symbols as a way to connect with you and share information too.
Yeah absolutely. Wow. Was the fox just kind of like a regular fox, or because when you said it I imagined a fox standing on his hind legs. And that's terrifying.
It was a giant fox. So like, it was very much a fox, but almost like more the size of, I mean, even bigger than a wolf. Like it was huge, you know, right. Like way out of proportion to what you would see in nature. Because like, it was standing next to my bed and it was like, you know, shoulders above my mattress. So not a normal sized fox.
But still on all four legs.
Still on all four legs. Yeah. Okay, and very gentle. Settling. Yeah. It was very calm and gentle. It was just like, hey, let's go. And
I'm like, yeah, okay, I love that. Sure. That's so interesting. I'm the same in that a lot comes through with dreams. But it's always, generally, I get birds a lot more, either a rooster or a crane. Always. Yeah. And I'm not sure. But I start to think this year, I don't know whether it's kind of, I don't know, the rooster always kind of came about when I don't know. It made me think of my great uncle Ronnie, who was clairvoyant. So I do wonder whether. So every time I see this rooster now, I'll give myself a tarot reading, or you know, something might say, okay, I need to give a tarot reading for my sister or something. And always they're the most accurate ones, or the most, you know, or most in tune or something. So they do really kind of like they ring for you, don't they? Or those little. You know, and depending on what your own beliefs are, even if it's something, you know, there might be some people listening to this who don't share those kinds of beliefs, but I think it still applies, because even if it is your subconscious or there's something, right. It's still yourself and staying in tune with yourself, and that ringing that bell for you, that's still something and a message to be heard, even if you don't, you know.
Yeah. So if you are one of those people who doesn't necessarily believe in or connect to guides or entities outside of yourself, because there's plenty of you in the community as well, I think that like you can replace anything I've said with, you know, your higher self or your subconscious or whatever makes sense for you. Because I think even for people like me, who very much like I'm all in on spirit guides and connecting with other beings, and embrace that pretty fully as part of my practice, which I know can be out there for some people. But when you think about it, and the fact that like we're all connected in one way or another, and we're all connected to the other side too, that we're kind of a more collective being, which also goes back to the collective consciousness kind of thing we were talking about at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
That this stuff all still works kind of within your own personal framework. I think you can find ways to kind of connect with it and use it within your practice.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't remember, my brain is too dead, but there is a word for it in specific kind of like academic approaches as well. Like what kind of approach you take to, what am I trying to think of? Hermeneutics, is that what I'm trying to say? I might not. I might have to.
I don't know. I feel like you're about to teach me a new word that I'm very excited about.
I think I'm trying to say like where there are different approaches to interpreting things, and you can kind of subscribe to ideologies and different ways of interpreting these kind of symbols, and that isn't necessarily based on like spiritual or religious beliefs.
Right.
I think using symbology or being mindful of symbology as a practice, you can apply any of those things to it, you know, and make it work within your own belief system or, you know, anything.
Yeah. And I think it's like, you know, it's very tied to story, right? Because we're creating stories around these symbols. So I think it's a really easy practice for people who consider themselves like folk practitioners or who really appreciate like mythology and folklore. It's a really easy connection to make there, because you've already, like, if you're into that stuff and you've read a lot of those kind of things, you already have kind of like a store of meanings that you can assign through different lenses.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I think that might bring us to the end of our symbology discussion. There's lots there for us and our listeners to take away and forward into our practice and to kind of have a little think about. So I've got a very important and completely unrelated question for you.
Yes.
If there were going to be a Magic Makers movie, and I imagine it being very practical magic, and not that I've ever seen practical magic, but... the vibe that I get from practical magic. who would play you? Who would play Erin Harker in that movie?
You know, you asked me this before. I think you put it in an Instagram story, and I told my sister the answers that I gave you, and she was basically like, wow, really overshooting your skis there, aren't you? And I was like, thank you.
Rude. Sisters are the best. Sisters. Just absolutely destroying self-esteem, aren't they? I don't know why we do it to each other.
It's fun for us, because you know it goes both ways with sisters. Gosh, who would play me? I honestly don't know. I am so terrible at this question, so I gotta think about it.
It's hard. I keep asking everybody, but I don't actually know myself.
I'm literally going to look up this actress right now, because she's older than me, but she also one of my old bosses was like, you really look like her. It's Catherine Keener. I don't know if you know who that is or not. She's been in stuff. She was in the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, I know who you mean.
And so I think I do have like a similar like face shape and like the disappearing eyes that she has as well when she smiles, you know.
Was she in, oh yeah, Get Out. That's what I was thinking. I recognized her from. Yeah, I know, I can see that. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, she's obviously like older, but.
Yeah, but she'll play you in the later stage of life. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could also see as a bit of a Kristen Wiig as well. Not so much in looks, but in energy.
I like that. I'll take it. She's funny. Yeah. I'm a fan of hers.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been so good to chat with you. Again, could have just gone on and on forever because it's so much fun and so lovely to speak with you. But thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I always love hanging out with you. And I'm glad that you know, our podcast premonition from years ago has finally come true.
It did. We didn't even talk about that. I know. When, that must have been from what, 2020?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And here it is. Here we are, 2 years
later. We're doing it.
Oh, thank you so much. We'll definitely have to get back together for another episode.
Oh, yeah, I'd love that.
So thank you very much for tuning in again today. It has been an absolute pleasure. If you like this episode, you can enjoy it ad-free by becoming a Witchology subscriber. Not only do you get access to this podcast and lots of bonus episodes, you will also get a print subscription to our magazine, as well as cauldrons full of additional content on our exclusive members area on the website. Head to witchologymagazine.com/subscriptions to find out more. Until next time. Thank you.